If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So as you can tell, tonight's a Thursday and we are going to speak to a phenomenal entrepreneur. Now, Ekasinomics, as you know, is one of our prime features here on the show where we profile entrepreneurs who are from anywhere. The truth is, though, they contribute to transformation, to growth within spaces and industries where typically you wouldn't expect to see a face like theirs within that realm. And tonight, I'm keen and so excited to have on the show a cattle farmer who's going to tell us more about her journey in terms of breeding cattle, opportunities within the ecosystem, but also playing such a critical role in the growth and development of her own skills to make sure that she's a competitive farmer as well. This is all coming up on Ekasinomics tonight.
Ekasi Economics on Kaya Biz.
Linda Mtalane is a beef cattle farmer and director of Nkonyane Inkosi Farming, joining us on the show tonight. Linda, such a pleasure to have you, Siswam, and thank you so much for your patience and joining us again tonight.
Thank you so much, Gugu. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to speak to you. I must tell you, in the beginning, I was waiting to hear a moo in the background.
Zilele,
inkomo. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, Linda, I think let's just start there. Many people might think, okay, well, Linda, you're female, you're a farmer, and a cattle farmer at that. But this journey is not one that started overnight. Nkonyane Inkosi, tell us a little bit more about your journey and what intrigued your interest in farming.
Well, I have a hospitality background. So I had a 10-year plus career in the hospitality industry. And I can say that my husband, who I married in 2020, he was the person who had more of a passion for livestock. Mm-hmm. And I guess the decision between us for me to come and live on the farm, because there was already a farm in the family, mm-hmm. But no one on it. There were a few cows on the farm as well. But when I moved here is when I actually started to fall in love with the animals themselves, and where I identified an opportunity for myself to say, do you know what? I can actually do this. I can actually turn this into a profitable business and make a difference.
Oh, I love it for you. And as you say, the family incorporation, but also the fact that you had the confidence. Linda, for anyone who starts out farming cattle, it's not just as easy as taking whatever herd that's already on the farm and then selling it out. I understand there was a separation of, number one, having to actually have cattle that was specifically for commercial use, but then also utilizing your background and professionalism, given your hospitality experience. Talk to us about how you, I guess, formalized it all to make sure that it would be a functional business.
Absolutely. When you talk about the challenge, especially with like the type of cattle, and there have been so many learnings for me across this journey, because when I first started, I didn't realize what a big difference the different breeds make in the end product of the meat that ends up on the plate. So there's been whole lot of learning and mentorship from my husband and our neighbor farmers and other people in our field. But I think what I've bought into it, my personality, I guess, has been built around my career in hospitality and working in one of the biggest hotel groups in the country, and really just being exposed to different clienteles and having to behave a certain way and a bit of schmoozing here and there. That's made me be able to forge some relationships with people in this industry that I don't think would have been easy for me to forge as a black female in our field. So I've had to way around a lot of boys clubs, I could call that, because farming really, especially in our area, is very much a boys club. And to put your hand up and speak in some of these platforms is not as easy as one might think. But over some years, I've sort of found my voice with the support of my husband, and also with a really good brand that we've built together with the family for our business. It sort of gives you the confidence to stand up and really speak a bit louder.
Got you. I'm so keen to talk about building that brand, right, and other aspects that go into building a business. As you've mentioned, you're a farmer. You had the opportunity to have the land, the mentorship, and access to understanding how different kinds of cattle would contribute to the breed that you would farm. I'm keen to understand from a health and safety point of view, as we've seen in the headlines, there's a lot of boxes that you've obviously had to tick to make sure that this beef cattle that you breed can then find its way into the ecosystem of food supply in the country. Maybe talk to us around the compliance and the preparation that farmers like yourself need to go through in order to be competitive in that space.
Oh, gosh, such a touchy topic, I promise you. Biosecurity amongst farmers right now, I don't think we can have a conversation without speaking about what more measures we can put in place to make sure that we're keeping our cattle safe. Mm. We've hugest foot and mouth outbreak in our province, and Dandi, where I'm from, we are currently in an orange zone, which means that we cannot transport cattle. We are basically in quarantine. For my business specifically, that means that I haven't been to auction all year. All year. Every time you reach your 28-day quarantine and the cattle get tested and your neighbors, there's an outbreak from someone just two farms away that sort of puts you all at risk, and you have to go back into another quarantine. So we are doing our cattle, I promise you, we are keeping them all in the camps that are away from main roads, away from neighbors, to try and make sure that they have no contact from other animals, from other vehicles coming in from other farms. We are using every possible thing you can think of to just try and keep our cattle safe. And I mean, touch wood, we haven't had any infections on our farm yet, but it doesn't mean we're unaffected, because we still can't. Our auction houses have been closed. The last auction, I think, was in the beginning of March. So we're running on really a difficult time right now. But we're doing everything we can, because at the end of the day, it's not just about us wanting to get money in our pockets, but we need to make sure that our cattle are safe and that they make it to the feedlots, and the feedlots are not getting infected cattle. Because once an infected cow gets into a feedlot, then all the other cattle are at risk. And then what is our country gonna eat? What happens to food security?
Linda, I'm so glad that you highlight this, and I think it's important, right, for us to shine a light on what I believe is a huge challenge that still needs further interventions within the province of KZN. As an entrepreneur, this obviously comes at a cost, because you still need to keep your cows alive, feed them, keep them clean, run the farm, and yet there's minimal income that's coming in. Have there been opportunities for you to speak to, I guess, you know, government institutions to assist with further health interventions regarding this foot and mouth outbreak, but also our financial services institutions, the banks, also coming on board to actually assist farmers like yourselves and many others? I don't know your financial position, but essentially I'm asking about the ecosystem of support. Is it there? Mm. Is it enough?
You know, I'm not going to lie, hey. I'll go to the question about government departments and their assistance on the health side. They do come around quite often. They've been testing cattle every so often, taking bloods and giving us feedback, which is how we know which of our neighbors are infected, and sort of try and move away our cattle from those camps. But when it comes to the financial support, I guess for me to say that there isn't any would be unfair, because I can't say that I have been out looking for much support. We've become very self-sustainable in that we don't spend a lot. We don't have a huge workforce because we are primary producers, so we only need herdsmen. Our cattle open graze, so all we need to make sure of is that they have medication, they have enough water, and that our camps have enough grass. And I mean, we had a lot of rain this year, so our camps are okay for now. But where we would appreciate a bit of financial support is we are trying to diversify, because I've realized that keeping my blinds on to say that this is what I do is really just shortchanging me, because I haven't created an opportunity for myself to make money if this doesn't work. So we've been working on building a sheep feedlot at the moment, and we're trying to do it out of pocket. But as you can imagine, like I said, there hasn't been much income this year. So it's been very difficult for us, but we are trying. We're using what we have. The whole concept of diversifying our business came to me when I was on a program called Metropolitan Collective Shapers, and they were giving us all these tools to just sort of tell us, look, farmer, you're good at what you do, but don't forget to just look outside of yourself and identify other opportunities for your business, so that you don't end up just with all your baskets in one basket. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was just in time, because I would totally be lost if I hadn't already started thinking about other things to do. But we are still looking at where we can go, which doors to knock on, in order to get some, whether funding support or grants or just some financial aid, so that we can continue to push, because we want to be there on the other side of this outbreak. We want to still exist. We want to still contribute to food security.
100%. And we want you there too, Linda. We definitely want to see definitely conquering and growing as a business ultimately. What I'm also keen to understand, as you say, diversification is part of the strategy. You are looking at livestock right now. There's a lot happening that is outside of your control. But we never know who's listening, Linda. And perhaps there's, you know, one or two aspects of support that you need, or, you know, contacts, mentorship, whatever it is that you need. We just believe in supporting entrepreneurs with their concerns. Given where your business is right now, and depending on who is listening, what would you say are the top two things that you need to help diversify your business and also just keep the level of sustainability and growth going?
My business right now, as I was saying, how we are working on building a sheep feedlot, we are in the middle of building the structures, so where the sheep will be housed and the feeding. So we need, I was hoping to get sponsorship from companies that make these animal feeds for the feedlots, for them to maybe give us some type of a discount, because we can't always be asking for giveaways, but we need some type of support, because the biggest expense is obviously the food that we have to feed these animals before they're sent for slaughter. And secondly, we would desperately need a second borehole so that we can have enough water for our animals as well. The rest, we have plans on how we can sort of make that work. But those are my two big things that I need to get help with.
100%. Linda, you are a woman with a plan and very clear on what it is that you need, and most importantly, the growth. And I think if anything, you know, we always have entrepreneurs who are listening, and it's never an easy journey. We know that at times it's lonely and it can be incredibly frustrating. Mm. But having started your business, I guess, well over 5 years ago, what would you say have been your biggest lessons in entrepreneurship that you'd like to share with us today?
I think my main biggest lesson is that you have to always be teachable. Mm. The moment you start believing that you know what you're doing, something will prove to you that you don't, especially in farming. Nothing stays the same because we're so dependent on climate, and we never really know what's going to happen. So you plan and plan and plan, and something happens that you just couldn't have planned for. So it's so important to remain teachable, ask questions, surround yourself with people who are not stingy with knowledge, and also don't always look up for help. Our herdsmen on the farm are so knowledgeable. They have been working on farms, and their fathers worked on farms, so they have all this knowledge. And if you don't give yourself an opportunity to listen and to sometimes take their advice, so when you give an instruction and there's a bit of resistance, mm-hmm. giving people an opportunity to tell you why they are resistant and learning from them, that has been the biggest lesson for me. I don't think anything has shone brighter than that in my journey in this industry that was totally new to me, but has become a part of my life.
Oh, Bandla. Mphathi, siyabonga kakhulu. And I'm referring to you in that manner because I can imagine the level of support and praise you get. Linda, before we go, as I mentioned, you know, you've shared your lessons with us. You've given us practical experience of where you are in your journey now. Where can we get a hold of you, depending on the level of support that anyone would like to provide?
Well, I am on social media. I think that's always the easiest way for people to contact you. We have a Facebook page, Ngonyane Nkosi Farming. And then my personal social media is mostly about my business. So it's at Linda Mthalane on TikTok as well as on Instagram. So you can find me there. I try to be online as much as possible, so I'll be able to contact in to get a hold of anyone who tries to reach out to me there.
Got you. But we also know you're busy, so we'll definitely make sure that this is strictly for business purposes, especially to anyone who might be listening. But in terms of funders, support, healthcare, and as you've heard, Linda definitely looking to secure feedstock specifically for sheep going forward.
Yeah.
Linda, such a pleasure speaking to you, ma'am. Sikufisela konke okuhle, onwards and upwards, and long may this journey last for you in entrepreneurship, and may it be fulfilling too.
Thank you so, so much. I appreciate the time. Thank you, Kaya FM.
Thank you, Linda Mthalane Nkosi, joining us tonight as the founder and director of Ngonyane Yenkosi Farming. As you've heard, she's built a trusted brand among feedlots and buyers alike, essentially grooming, breeding a wide variety of different cattle based on the different breeds that actually exist.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.